This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to Winter Kings Valley, the podcast that follows the Conti Cup finalist Chelsea FC women. Now, after losing to City recently in the WSL, this match in the Conti Cup semi-final away at the Joy Stadium was always going to be a huge test for Emma Hayes and her Chelsea team, especially as Gareth Taylor just signed a new three-year deal and Man City fans were trusting the process, something that Chelsea men's fans have heard a lot recently. Chelsea went there without first choice centre half, with Serkan Nuskin stepping into the back line, with Nathalie Björn cup tied, Millie Bright still injured, and Kadisha Buchanan away, of course, at the Gold Cup, and Maren Miada also injured. So Chelsea had it all to do, but they broke early on in the 8th minute. Lauren James with a slight deflection into the bottom corner, beating Kira Keating in the Man City goal. And then Chelsea showed all their defensive resolute hang on the whole game. City pressed, City harried, City shot, City missed, Hampton saved, and in the end, Chelsea won, and Emma Hayes is on for a quadruple in her farewell season tour. And the title of tonight's show is Went to Mokins Meadow, episode number 124, Cup Joy at City, because it's the Joy Stadium. Get it? No? Okay. Well, there's not just silence, it's not just me. People are here, they're just not responding to that at all, which is terrible if you ask me. I am joined by Mr. Dane Little. Dane, good to see you, mate.
Yeah, good. How are you?
I'm okay. Yeah.
You look a bit... You've been for a rough day.
It's been a busy day. I've just watched the highlights back before you joined the call. So I'm glad you're late for once. But yeah, and we're also joined by Mr. Simon Kingman. Simon, good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. Good to see you, Dane. Good to see you, Dane. Glad to be on again.
Yeah, it feels like it's been a while because we've not had no home matches. I've not seen you for a while, in person anyway. But we are also joined, and you might be shocked to hear this now, Simon's on the show, because we said this wouldn't happen again after the Man City WSL podcast. We are also joined by Mr. Matt Ball. Matt, good to see you, mate.
Yeah, good to be on and good to have finally kind of broke the curse between me and Simon. And it's a big game that we've won, so it's a good point. And as you said, on to the quadruple.
Yeah, a few brown envelopes being passed around here to break this curse, but we're going to take it. We're going to take it anyway. And I should apologise because today is International Women's Day and I've not been very organised and you're going to listen to four blokes talk about women's football. But those are the cards that have been dealt. There was supposed to be Serena on tonight, but she had to do some work, so you have to let us off. But happy International Women's Day to all our women listeners out there. Of course. On the show tonight, in part one, we're going to look back at that Conti Cup win over Man City at the Joy Stadium. And then in part two, we're going to have a quick look ahead to Everton in the FA Cup. So double cup duty for us tonight with that coming at the weekend. So we're going to do that right after this. Right then, Chelsea lining up for this one. It was a 4-4-2 officially. Hannah Hampton in goal, Yves Perisse, Jess Carter, Jerka Nuskin, Neve Charles as a back four. Lauren James, Erin Cooper, Amelia Leupolz, and Guru Wrighton in the midfield with Yelena Chankovic and Mayra Ramirez. Up front, Emma Hayes used just three substitutes for this game. Aggie Beaver-Jones coming on for Ramirez in the 34th minute. Johanna Ritten carrying on for Guru Wrighton in the 63rd minute, and Sophie Ingle replacing Yelena Chankovic in the 76th minute. That left Tashira Musovic, Anne Katchenberger, Kat Macario, Frank Kirby, and Mika Hamano as unused subs. Stats wise, Chelsea with 36% possession, 8 shots, 2 on target, 4 corners, and 14 fouls to Man City's 64% possession, 23 shots, 10 on target, 6 corners, and 5 fouls. Adeyemi will start, of course, with the lineup as expected, and it was Nusken in there at centre half. But for me, it was the 4-4-2 which surprised me.
Yeah, obviously we had differences of opinions on the formations, and I remembered agreeing with you, like in the fact of Ingle being in there, but I did not know how we could fit her in. I just sort of said possibly a 4-3-3, and I didn't expect that. It was just trying to put her into the team. But yeah, she didn't make it. But yeah, 4-4-2 obviously worked on the night. We can obviously dispute whether we were lucky or Man City were unlucky or whatever. But at the end of the day, we won 1-0.
Yeah, obviously with hindsight, it's much easier to say good decision. But Matt, we spoke about this in the 1-0 defeat podcast we did after the City game when Chelsea played this 4-4-2, and it just didn't work. City had, you know, the freedom of Kings Meadow to roam that midfield. But you could see with this performance and the way that Chelsea pressed that they had watched the tape, they had analysed everything from that defeat, and they put everything into place to make sure they got this right. And they did, starting with like James on the right and Chankovic up there with Ramirez leading that press.
Yeah, I think we did seem to learn from the mistakes of the last City game. We obviously, as you said, pressed a lot more. There's a lot more energy. I did like that Chankovic actually got a start and played quite well in her position, allowed Lauren James, as you said, to go wide. I do think it helps that we got the first goal, because I think the longer it would have been 0-0, the questions would be, would City have eventually got a bit more hold of the game? But the goal at least gave us just the confidence to just boss the first half. And then it was only the second half and we were trying to hold it a little bit more, where City started coming back into it a little bit.
Yeah, Simon, I mean, we mentioned the presser and Chankovic there. She was key. I thought Guru Wrighton as well did a great job on that left-hand side, stopping City getting out. You know, Jess Park, who was fantastic in the 1-0 win against us, was pretty invisible in that first half. As was, is it Hasegawa?
Yeah.
Yeah, the young the midfielder there. They really limited them by the way that they let the back four have the ball before they pressed.
It was everything we did right last night was what we did wrong at Kings Meadow. And Wrighton, yeah, she played really well. I know we'd been sort of not necessarily moaning about her, but she's not been the player she was. But she played really well last night. Bunny Shaw, I'm not too sure what's going on with her, because they had, was that before we scored? She had that header. That wasn't the real Bunny Shaw, was it, last night? Somebody had cloned her for a not as good one. Thank God.
It must have been Emma Hayes. Although she did have quite a few chances. Although it might be about playing Chelsea at home for City strikers, because Haaland had a shocker against us as well. But right. Dane, that goal was sort of almost a carbon copy of what City did to us in terms of triggering the press at the right moment, Erin winning the ball back, and then a quick pass into Lauren James. And she gets a slight deflection, but you know, a little bit of luck on our side that last night.
Yeah, which is needed. You know, you don't go for a season, you know, going after titles, going getting to cup finals, winning cups without a little bit of luck. I think you do earn luck, as we've seen with successful teams of ours over the years. I think our best periods attacking was probably that, well, Ramirez was still on the field. And that was a good move that culminated with a you know, take a pocket goal, goes in, gets deflection, you know, don't shoot, you don't score. Simple as that. We berate them when they don't take enough shots. So well done to them.
Yeah, Matt, just Lauren as well, you know, she's not known for her defensive capabilities, but like writing on the other side, she had duty to get back and defend and also, you know, be a spark in attack. And she did that, and it was a mature performance from her, I think I'd say.
Yeah, I think everyone on the pitch did their jobs to perfection, whether it was in attack, in defence, particularly Lauren as well. Obviously, it is the kind of the idea that she's not very good defensively, and sometimes you can understand that people have a point with that. But there are games like this where she will come back defensively. I think it's important for the games like City, like Arsenal, like Barcelona potentially in the Champions League, where you need these players to contribute in both attack and defence in order to get the result.
Yeah, and speaking of that, Sam, you mentioned Bunny Shaw already having an off day. You know, she did trouble us, and City did try and target her against Sherkin Nuskin, who was stepping in at centre half. And although Bunny had a fair few good opportunities, I was impressed with Nuskin's performance as well.
She played really well, didn't she? Defence. I know you guys were talking about it on Tuesday, who would partner Jess, and she stepped up. She played there against Bristol, was it? Bristol away?
Yeah.
I think she can just play anywhere, really. Such a classy player.
It was funny. She played, obviously, last season. I can't remember the club now, but when she played last season, she played there. She played there for Germany in the recent internationals. And the commentator was talking like it was the first time she'd ever played there before in her life and how well she was doing. But that was the BBC for you. Dave, you mentioned Ramirez and having the best moments of our attack, and her going off injured, I thought, was a huge blow to us. But, you know, for Emma to turn to Aggie and tell her to go up front showed a lot of trust in Aggie.
Yeah, once again, we've seen Myra take a few knocks, take a few whacks, wasn't very well protected. That's sort of like, can we say tweeted anymore? Or is it X'd or whatever? So I put something out there that I marked that referee's number after about 10 minutes. I don't think he was particularly good. He was the typical sort of like home ref you would have got years ago if he was like a real underdog. But we wasn't an underdog. Yeah, we haven't played too well against Man City recently. I don't know betting-wise if we were the favourites or what it was, or if it was slightly City. But yeah, he was a right home ref. I didn't agree with him. At one point, you know, obviously you could even see Mara on the ground like pointing at but you could see the sock had been pierced. There was a hole in there. She wasn't impressed, and I don't know. I haven't seen today. I've been busy all day. If she was actually injured or she was taken off for safety precaution because she felt something. Hopefully, it's not too bad. I've sort of discussed before about Aggie being someone like Fran who can sort of play anywhere across the front three. It was nice to see her given a chance up front, although she has obviously been given many chances this season, whether it be left, right or through the middle. I think our balls at the balls in the midfield to her wasn't great for the 70 minutes she was on, but she was a willing runner. She, you know, takes players away with a smart movement, and she showed good energy. Again, herself as well, when she did get the ball, maybe she hadn't received it for a while, so she herself looked a little bit surprised. But overall, yeah, it was a massively good experience for her.
Yeah, Matt, my concern was obviously losing that, you know, focal point in attack when you're trying to defend like that and you want to kick the ball out. You know, Ramirez is someone that's got the strength to hold it up, and that's not Aggie's game, which isn't her fault. You know, she's a runner into channel. But you know, I did think that she handled the situation very well, and like all the players, you know, put a good account of herself in.
Yeah, I think for her, I don't want to say limitations, because I think she's a very good player, but you can see that's not her strong point in her game. But for what she can do, she put in the best she can. I think we would have been more comfortable had Ramirez have stayed on the pitch and, as you said, provided that kind of focal point up front. But I think she put in a good count for herself, as she does every time. And that's why she deserves to be in the England lineups in the future, at least the squad. And that's why she's going to be a big player for Chelsea.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sam, we'll move on to the ref now. I mean, dangerous mention of the ref. Aside from missing that one on Ramirez from Greenwood, which was a shocking tackle, which probably should have been punished, there was two big calls in the game. One for Chelsea, one for City. The first, obviously, is a handball. I think it's... I can't remember. Alexandre, was it Alexandre?
Yes, yeah.
Come across was. Lauren with her arms up in the air. Lauren appeals for it, to be fair to her. She's the only one up there. Nothing given. The first replay I saw didn't look like it. The second one was obvious. A blatant handball missed.
Yeah. We sort of called it, watching it at the time. You can see the way the ball goes up in the air as well. She's put her hands up and it's hit her, and it sort of deflects and spins away a bit. The lino was there as well. Down that end, that's one of my pet hates, why they don't get involved and give things when they've probably got a clearer view than the ref as well. Yeah, another penalty we missed not given.
And then late on in the game, the ball breaks in the Chelsea penalty area. Greenwood again involved. This time she goes to ground after a challenge from Erin Cuthbert. This is one of the hard ones, I think, to talk about when you're a fan of the team that got the decision, because I think it is weak, but I think if it's your team, you want the penalty.
Yeah. It's one of those ones again. We've spoken about that a few times, haven't we, this season? Probably, I suppose, if you're taking your Chelsea bias out of it and you're a neutral. Yeah, I can see it, but glad it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, do you agree with those? Both those calls should have been given?
Yeah, I think overall, on the grand scheme of things, both penalties probably should have been given. And that's why you got a lot of the City fans that are moaning. I'm kind of not bothered, because it's like both two teams haven't got one decision. So in the grand scheme of things, it's been evened out. Arguably, I'd say the Greenwood is less obvious than the handball. The handball is a bit criminal that's not been given. As Simon says, if the referee hasn't seen it, the linesman has a perfect view of it. And it is a kind of hierarchy thing. I think you don't want the linesman doesn't want to call it. And if it's a wrong decision, everyone's going to come onto the linesman and say, oh, why is the linesman giving that decision? It's not his job. He's supposed to be doing the offsides and whatever. So it's a hierarchy thing. But if you see a decision that's blatantly wrong, you at least give the referee a message, say it through the microphones that they've got, that something has been done. But the Greenwood one, I think it's one of them ones. I've seen them given, seen them not given. As you said, I think in the way I'd like football to be played, I think that's not a foul. But in the modern game, it's a penalty all day long.
Yeah, I think Dave, just where I think the ball gets away from her, and it looks like she's looking for it. Well, it doesn't help Greenwood in her case for the ref not to give it. What was your thoughts on the penalties?
The penalty sort of, but the penalty shouts, or that one penalty?
Both penalty shouts.
Yeah, again, isn't it? It's hard because you've got your blue tinted glasses on for when it's for yourself. And then when it's against you, you're going, no chance, no way. I agree with Matt, I think. Yeah. The way you like to see the game to be played would be very harsh, I think, both of them, really.
Yeah, and Greenwood did foul Ramirez in the WSL game, which wasn't given, so fuck them.
Exactly, and didn't they? Is that the one that they made? They put the message out. What was the one they put the message out about Ramirez's? Was it that one?
No, that was the Everton game where she got it.
Oh, sorry, the Everton one. Yeah.
Then she didn't. I mean, the City games have just been mauled with decision after decision after decision, mostly around Alex Greenwood. Funny enough.
Yeah, the red cards, non-penalties. I don't know what more. Hopefully, we don't play them again this season. I think that's enough. Yeah,
fingers crossed.
Yeah. And Simon, after sort of half time and things change, it is pretty much, you know, a back to the wall performance from Chelsea, you know, digging deep, giving everything they've got. I mean, the stats bear that out. 23 shots from City, 10 on target, 64% of the ball. It was a sort of old school way that Chelsea used to beat play City, you know, back to the wall, keeping them out as much as they can. And we have to thank probably Hannah Hampton for a lot of that.
She was brilliant, wasn't she? I must admit, I've watched it back again, highlights, and the saves, she made a few really, really good ones, but then most of them were saves that she should make. There was one from down Lauren Hemp, and then there was the chance where Perisay took it off Hemp. Just a defensive display, wasn't it? Not necessarily parking the bus, but they played really, really well. And City were so poor. I was watching those highlights again, and some of those misses were, you'd back them to score every single time, wouldn't you? Hemp and Kelly, Bunny Shaw. Strange, strange game from City, really. Perhaps it was Basil putting them off with his singing.
And his dancing at half-time as well was pretty good, to be fair. They showed that on BBC. Matt, you know, those saves from Hampton, one where she's going, you know, across the goal and she has to go back on herself to save from Hemp, I think it is. You know, that helps in these situations when opposition feel like they probably can't score because the goalkeeper's playing so well. And she was absolutely superb, wasn't she?
Yeah, I think when you see a goalkeeper play as well as Hampton was, I think as a striker, you go into the aspect of it doesn't matter how good my shot is because she's going to save it anyway, and that means you're off the focus, and that's why I think there was a lot of misses, and it didn't seem like anyone was really hitting their shots of venom with confidence that they're actually going to score it. As a striker, you need to hit every shot as if you know you're going to score. Otherwise, you're not going to score. And I think City struggled with that. I think Simon's right in that some of the saves Hampton should make, but there were some that were absolutely brilliant. And I think it does kind of cement her as number one as much as you can under Em Hayes. But I think especially for the new manager, whoever it will be, they'll be looking at these Hampton performances right now, and I don't think anyone else will get in.
Yeah, and if you thought that Keating versus Hampton was the battle for England's new number one to take over from Mary Earps, there was only one winger there as well. Dame, you know, when we play Man City, you talk about their wingers, Hemp, and Kelly. You know, your full-backs have to play well for you to have a good chance in the game. And to their credit, Charles, and in particular, Perisay, were absolutely fantastic on the night. Perisay in particular, I think, could hold her head really high with her performance, I thought.
By doing a job on the wingers, I think our team done really well to press some of the matchups. I don't think we was particularly great defensively. You know, your goalkeeper doesn't make 10 saves if you've had an outstanding defensive performance. Sometimes I would find myself being quite critical, and then all of a sudden we produce a really good tackle and stop a break. I think Perisay and Charles did really good jobs individually on Park and Lauren. Thought Shaw was allowed a little bit too much space sometimes. I agree with that. I think she was a bit off her game. Sometimes I found we was quite slow on the turn, the half turn and the full turn. But then we had good backup in positions. You know, if one of our players got turned or run past, there was someone else there to help them out. So I'm going to sound harsh, but I think if you look at the stats and you look at the tackles, which I did look at afterwards, you would see that defensively, it wasn't a great display. But individually, matchups, there was some really good performances, if that makes any sense.
I get where you're coming from. I'm not sure I agree particularly. Simon, what's your thoughts on Dane's observation of the game?
He lost me there at the beginning, to be honest. Do you want to repeat that for me, Dane?
But I thought individually, Perisay and Charles up against Lauren and Park, they did their jobs well. But if your goalkeeper is making 10 saves, then defensively as a unit, I don't think you actually played that well. I thought we sort of like got turned quite easily on half turn, full time sometimes. And then when I started to think, oh, that's not good enough, we would then produce a really good tackle. So I thought it was quite actually hit and miss. I thought there was plenty of good moments and I thought there was plenty of could have been better, but I just thought we got away with it.
Yeah, I agree with both of you.
That's impossible. But yeah, I mean, Matt, for me, I suppose, as Dane says, you know, your keeper makes 10 saves, most of them routine. And obviously, Bunny was up against Nusken, who, although he's playing centre-back, is not a centre-back. You know, a miss, you know, not a back four we'd probably see again in terms of Chelsea playing football, or hopefully not anyway. Against one of the best attacks in the league and in the country, I think they can hold their heads high.
Yeah, and I think especially I think in the second half you could see the team kind of proactively sat back a little bit more, which when you were inviting a team like Man City with Chloe Park, all the great players that they've got, you're going to concede chances and they're going to get shots on goal. So I think with the aspect of it, a bit of a makeshift defence as defenders, the people that are not really defenders that are playing in there against one of the best teams in the league at the moment, arguably in Europe, even though they're not in Europe. But yeah, I think it's overall good performance. As Dane said, I think individually there were players that were fantastic at times, maybe not so good at other times. But as you said, I don't think we're going to see this defence for many get more games. Fingers crossed once Bright gets back. Obviously, you're going to have Lawrence come back as well. There's a few other players that will probably get in there. Bjorn obviously missing as well. So there's plenty of defenders missing. And the fact that City couldn't score against a makeshift back four, that's on them.
Yeah, I think had we lost, I'd be more on Bane's side than that. But we come away 1-0 winning. So let's use hindsight to say everyone did a great job.
Ultimately, you know, you've got to ride your luck. Man City, the way Man City and Taylor has improved the team and performances over the last like 10 months as you know, is credit to him. And you don't go to Man City and just control the game and win easily. So you need a bit of luck. And ultimately, we won the game. We're through. So I couldn't care less how we played. I wouldn't care if it went in off Lauren's bum. And then we defended for the next like 80 minutes. Fact of the matter is, I think you asked the question, so I just answered it.
Yeah, I'm just going to look at the 1-0 game quickly. Chelsea lost 1-0 and had 60% of the ball against Man City, which shows probably the best thing to do if you're playing Chelsea and Man City is to play away from home because you don't have the ball and you can win the game. So I'm just, obviously the first half, totally Emma Hayes out, you know, a tactical masterclass against Gareth Taylor, getting revenge on him after that performance at King's Meadow. The second half, I thought maybe we went back a bit too early, too soon. You know, Ingle come on 15 minutes left. We got the likes of Kirby, Hermano, Macario on the bench, still not come on. I know, obviously, we won the game, but it always worries me when I think you try and sit back too deep too early.
It was. Those last sort of 15, 20 minutes as well. Ingle had that shot, didn't she, that just went over the bar. And I sort of said to the others, I think they're going to score here. And was sort of setting ourselves up for extra time of penalties. Luckily, we didn't. We had Hampton in goal, had the defence. Like you said, job done, job done. What I loved about Hampton as well was those little slow motion drop into her knees when she'd saved it as well, just to waste a bit of time. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, the little smile she does as well.
She's got the ball. Yeah, such a sort of confident and a bit cocky with it, but yeah, love that. Love that.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, I think the difference on the day, you know, obviously City can't say they played badly because they, you know, controlled the ball, had lots of chances, just couldn't score. On another day, they might have scored one or two goals, but I think it was just that the big game experience of Chelsea that showed in the end and got them over the line.
Yeah, and I think sometimes you do have to go to games knowing that you're not going to have a ball, and you've got to be clinical when you do get your chances. You've got to work hard and take the opportunity with the ball when you get it. And I think Chelsea did do that. It is a sign of champions to not net, when you come up against a team that on form maybe better, they've not long just beaten you before. But to have the experience to kind of shut the game down in the way we tried to, I think, is commendable for the team.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I suppose it's good that it shows that Chelsea can, you know, play on the front foot and on the back foot, and they've got the skill set to do both. And that's something we could take away, especially looking ahead maybe towards a potential Champions League semi-final.
Yeah, and hopefully, yeah, obviously, without pre-guessing that we're just going to stroll through, but you know, we've got a lot of players out, missing a lot of players, whether it's for injuries, cup ties, fitness, in the Gold Cup. So, how depleted our squad was or is, you know, it's admirable that we went there with a game plan, we stuck to it, and we came away with exactly what we wanted. Again, it's just a shame. Obviously, again, did you have we heard if Mara is injured or not or nothing's come out?
No press conference,
Nothing.
I don't think.
It's just typical how you could produce such a display like that to get through to a final, and then you still get a few casualties. So, what was your original question, sir?
About Chelsea showing that they can play, you know, front foot
Oh,
football.
absolutely. But we've seen that before with Emma, haven't we? You know, when she wants to play massively more on the front foot, she can, or on the back foot. I just hope, you know, we can take something out of this to then go into eventually the Arsenal game, because, you know, sometimes Arsenal can make us look pretty average. Not usually at home, not usually at our ground, but then it's Stamford Bridge, isn't it? So that could be a whole different ball game. But this should, you know, really give us confidence in that game as well, because if it was King's Meadow, I know, so we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves talking about Arsenal, but you know, I'm sort of glad we played Man City on their ground and not. I know they don't actually play at the men's stadium, but they haven't played there yet. They just played there against Man United, haven't they? Or they just played at Old Trafford. But I don't think they have
I
played
think
in.
they just play at their stadium. I think
Yeah,
they
I'm glad
play.
we played them there rather than a more of a sort of a neutrally one. But yeah. You know, playing Arsenal, I'd prefer to play at King's Meadow, but I can see why you've got to play at Stamford Bridge to give the opportunity and sell it.
Yeah, well, Chelsea obviously now through to that final against Arsenal, which will be played at Molineux, which is Wolverhampton Wanderers, for those of you that are not aware. On the 31st of March, so the Chelsea game against Tottenham is going to be rearranged for another date. And I did do a player of the match poll, and it was really, really close this one. It's still live as well. You've got an hour left to vote at Mo Meadow on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. So Niskanen is currently in fourth place. She's got 3% of the vote. Cankovic and Wrighton are tied for second on 4%. And Hannah Hampton has got 89% of the vote right now. Which, Simon, I'm sure you agree with that runaway lead she's got.
I did, yeah. I vote for Hampton, but then felt bad for Niskanen afterwards because I thought she played really well. But she deserved it. I was got to mention it earlier on, but some of those passes she was putting out to the fullbacks as well, Hampton. Just her distribution is amazing.
Yeah, it helps growing up in Spain, I think, to be good playing with the ball at your feet.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, I suppose you could put any combination of Chelsea players in that with Hampton for a player of the match poll because everyone sort of put their performance in. But at the end of the day, when you make 10 saves, including some really, really good ones, you probably deserve a player of the match vote.
Yeah, I think it was always going to be Hampton. I think, as you said, when you win 1-0, your back's against the wall, and your goalkeeper is making the saves that she did. I'm surprised. I'm surprised it's not 99%. I'm surprised that other players got that many votes, but it is what it is. I'm sure there's people that don't watch goalkeepers and always prefer to vote outfield players, but it is what it is.
Well, it's just check. It's live now, so it's changing live as we speak. Fiskin's gone up to 6%. Kankovic and Wright are now at 3%, and Hampton's at 88%. So if it keeps on for an hour, Dane, you know, we could have a new winner.
Okay, or 2 hours, or for another 3 hours. Can you extend it?
No, there's only 57 minutes left now, so that's it. But yeah, for you, Hampton as well.
Yeah, I'm so impressed with her. This is a young lady who's obviously moved out of her comfort zone to an extent, shows her ambition. As we were made aware a little bit, which I didn't realise on our last show, that she had a little few issues at Villa. And, you know, it's always easy with footballers to get one side of the story and then you form an opinion about personality and then that stays with them sometimes. But, you know, whether that is true or not, she's come down to the big bright lights of the big city. Really bided her time. Emma Hayes masterclass in that. I don't know if the fact of Emma leaving to manage USA had a factor in her bringing her into the team earlier, because, you know, as I said on the last show, about 3/4 of Emma's signings, it is more of a bedding in period. But since she's, it's very cliche, I know, but since she's had her chance, she's literally grabbed it with both hands and she's been exceptional. Not only am I impressed with her vocally, her handling, the crosses, the ball with her feet, like, and also, which was mentioned as well, she's got that little bit of a, you know, the devil in her as well, hasn't she? A bit of attitude, which you need to be a bit, as probably Clayton would say in the previous show, who knows a lot more about goalkeepers than me, you need a bit of a devil in you when you're a goalie. They're a bit mad, aren't they? And I think she's got all of that, and wow, we are very lucky to have her. Because as I said last time, that sort of transfer sort of came out of the blue, didn't it? Because we signed Belgium's number one, who'd had a good tournament previously. And to go with Musovic and Berger, we thought we were stacked. So this one sort of really came out of the blue. But wow, so grateful we did.
I think they're saying you don't have to be mad to be a goalkeeper, but it helps.
Yeah.
That's what we'd say. But we're going to go for our break now. When we come back, we're going to look ahead to the FA Cup quarterfinal clash with Everton this weekend. Before we do that, a reminder that issue 10 of Kings Manor Chronicle, the Chelsea fanzine, as mentioned on the FA player by Michael McCann, is available to purchase online via kingsmanorchronicle.bigcartel.com. I've just received the actual physical copy, so they are being posted out to subscribers over the weekend. And then next Friday at Arsenal, I'll have copies on sale. For those of you that are going in person to that game and want to get a copy there, you can do. They are £2 plus postage online and £2 in person. And make sure you pick up a copy and support your Chelsea fanzine. And we will be right back after this.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK. And best of all, No more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
Short break. Welcome back to part two of Went to Smokies. We're time now to look ahead to a different cup, this time the FA Cup quarterfinal. Chelsea travel to Walton Hall Park to take on Everton in the FA Cup quarterfinals. Matt, I know we did joke at the start of the show about a curse being lifted between yourself and Simon, but I've been thinking, the last time we lost in the FA Cup was away to Everton in the quarterfinal. Is that the real test of the curse?
I guess it will be. I mean, Everton are a good team. I find they're quite a solid team, so it will be a test, especially since we've played in midweek and Everton haven't. So, yeah, it'll be a test of the curse, but hopefully we get through it.
Yeah, Simon, any special message you're going to take? Your lucky pants, lucky shirt, to make sure this curse is definitely lifted?
It's broken. It's broken. The curse is broken. We're winning it all.
Well, I know who's to blame if not. But Dane, it is a risk, isn't it? After, you know, a big effort on Tuesday, what day is today? It's Friday. Big effort on Thursday, to then go again Sunday is difficult, isn't it? Especially two games away from home, lots of travel by coach.
It's
going to be a tough game, isn't it?
So, have we got anyone coming back into the squad for this game? Bjorn
be available.
Yeah. Just her. Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. 2 days. So we've got 2 days rest till we play Everton. Then we'll have 4 days rest until we play
Arsenal.
It's a joke. 3 days rest till we play Ajax. 4 days rest before we play West Ham. 2 days rest before we play Ajax. 3 days rest before we play Spurs. Jesus Christ. It is a massive ask. Luckily, we're just at the beginning of this. Very tight schedule, 2-3 games in. We don't want to put too much pressure on, and we'd have to take it on the chin. But Emma Hayes made a really good point, didn't she? She says you don't feel tired when you're successful in winning games. Hopefully that is exactly what we'll see on Sunday. Again, I'm not going to expect too much just out of the fact that they're humans after all. I know they're professional players at the height of their game. Fitness, to an extent, a lot fitter than we'll ever be. But there still must be quite hard for them. But as I said, with Emma saying, you know, by winning games, that gives you that momentum to carry on. Then we could just, you know, this is the one I would take anything. You know, as long as we got through, I wouldn't give a crap how we played. Because, you know, you don't go to Man City and then come... And I expected to play, you know, 2 days off later and expect some sort of amazing performance. So if then they're superhuman, you know, you can only be in awe of them, which we are anyway. But if they produce a stellar display where they just completely dominate, then I'll be surprised.
Yeah, Matt, I suppose it could be one of those where Emma tries to get a team to sort of blow it out of the water pretty quickly. And then bring on the players like Hermano, Macario to get some more fitness and rest those key players for sort of the second halves and, you know, longer periods of time than she would do normally.
Yeah, I do feel like there'll be some change. I think there'll be enough players on there to, as you say, kind of win the game, blow the game out of the water. There'll be a few players that maybe just get rotated. And then, yeah, as you said, I think if we're at half time, we're 2 or 3-0 up, I do think Emma will bring on certain players, get some more players and rest, because it is, as you said, a very tough run that we've got. It's not the easiest teams that we're facing either. But we're Chelsea, so we've just got to push for it, win as many as we can, which I think we should win the majority. Hopefully Arsenal as well, but always a bit sceptical of that game. But we'll see how it goes.
Exactly what can I just cut in what Matt said as well. You know, you don't
moan about fixture congestion if you're successful, because we could be out of all these trophies and then be moaning about the team not performing in this. So when you're so successful, you're going to get it. It's just the way it is. You're going to get fixture congestion if you're in the cup finals, if you're going for the leagues, if you're going for all the other titles as well. It's just the way it is. So you'd prefer that. And the players would prefer that as well.
Yeah, a bit like for the...
Obviously. Sorry.
For the cup final, Arsenal, I think, got 10 days before the cup final because they don't play in the Champions League. And I'm sure they would switch listeners with us.
Yeah,
in an instant to be playing those games, and that's what we want. We want to be playing in all competitions and winning them as well. Simon, obviously, Chelsea are not the best with injury news. They can keep their cards close to their chest. With no press conference today, we've got even less information than usual on the likes of Ramirez and Wrighton, but probably another chance that Aggie would expect.
Yeah, and back to Everton as well. I've got her down on the wing as well for my team. But yeah, hopefully she gets a chance. Such an intelligent player as well. And like you were saying just now about the games in Arsenal, he'll probably moan money, Jonas, that he's had too long a break.
The word for not. He likes his excuses.
That certainly does. I was just thinking, if Emma Hayes was like him, she'd be moaning, wouldn't she, about fixture congestion and injuries. But just get on with it, deal with it, keep winning.
I'm trying to come up with my team as we talk, so we can do that as we go. But you would expect Matt, the likes of you had a written Cameron that came on, Kirby that missed out altogether. Probably to be starting this game.
Yeah, I think obviously I think Bjorn obviously definitely comes in. I think as you said, Canary, Kirby. I was wondering whether she'd still keep Kankovic on, just because obviously Kankovic hasn't played a lot. But then that seems the perfect person for Kirby to replace in the team. So I'm not sure how it is after. I assume Ramirez is out, so you assume Aggie's going to start, therefore, which is in itself a bit of a change and rest up. But yeah, you never know what Emma Hayes can do. We'll do on a normal day, let alone when we've got all these fixtures and congestion and whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Dan, do you think there's a chance? I think, I can't remember who said it now, they thought that Muzovic would play against Man City in the Conti Cup, but the goalkeeper changed his position for the FA Cup game.
You know what? Well, obviously Emma has surprised us here, hasn't she? You know, when we would never have said that Hannah is the number one in previous years, because when we got caught saying that about Musovic or Berger, then the other one would play. It's hard with goalies, isn't it? You don't really want to mess around with them. I don't know how she's managed to keep them so comfortable and consistently ready. But if you know what, for the sake of one game, I wouldn't be too disappointed if Musovic started. I'd worry a bit because it would mean I would be making about six changes, which is a bit sometimes too much. But yeah, I'd go either way. I'd say it's 50-50. You know, Hannah is in such a good run of form. Could she do the rest? You know, she probably won't want one.
Yeah, I mean, I've got my team down now. It's six changes. I'll read it out and then I can come to each of you and you can tell me what you would do differently. But this is what I think could happen. Muzovic, the starting goal. Perisic, Carter, Bjorn and Charles in the back four. Ingle and Copper in the midfield. You had a written Camrid, Frank Kirby and Beaver Jones. And then Lauren James starts up front for us with Ramirez missing out. Obviously, Simon, we don't know the injuries, but what's your 11 you got down?
I've gone Hampton in goal, just for the momentum, really, and how well she played yesterday. And then the same as yours. Carter, Bjorn, Eve, Charles, Cuthbert, Ingle, Fran, and James up top, Aggie, and, yeah, Kenrid. But I did have Hamano in there as well at one point.
That's yet started the game for Chelsea yet.
No.
Not an FA Cup quarter final anyway. But you know, that's one of those you can take Lauren off and put Fran up front, sort of thing, and just you know, keep your key players you know, as fresh as possible by getting those early goals. I mean, yeah. What's your thoughts on the team?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in a complete agreement with Simon. I think the big question is, do you play Mitrovic, do you play Hampton? But I think when a goalkeeper is in as much form as Hampton is, I think you just keep her in. I think you're more likely to see Mitrovic maybe against Ajax rather than Everton, in my opinion. But yeah, I think Hampton will stay, and I think you're the outfield. I think you've got a spot.
I can't see her playing in the Champions League quarterfinal, even though Ajax probably not at our level, but I think this is the only fixture I'll tee her in. But there we go. Dane, what about you?
I could see where Matt's coming from to an extent, because you can claw it back, can't you? If it's a tight game, it's two games against Ajax. This is like a one-off game away. So I don't know if you could take more of a risk against Ajax. I had, the same back four as you. I would stick Hannah back. I'd leave Hammer back in, just like Hannah back in. Sorry, I'd leave her in there. So I'm trying to double thing. I think I would have Ingle in for Cuthbert. Did you have that?
I'd Ingle and Cuthbert.
No, I'd have Ingle in for Cuthbert. I'd leave Cuthbert alone for this game, stick on the bench. I'd take out actually James Jankovic and Ramirez and put in Wright and Kanneridge, Beaver Jones and Kirby, and hope that Kirby and Beaver Jones could like interchange. So, you know, play quite a free way. And just hope that Wrighton has got like a good hour in her. I thought attacking wise is where I think she's missing. She is a bit of a shadow of the player, but she did such a good job for the team yesterday, defensively, unselfish. And I do remember a few seasons ago when we thought it was really harsh on her when she was being played wing back for a while, and it was really taken away from her attacking game. It was almost similar to that again. But I'd like her to play in this game, free her up a little bit, give her a good hour at least, 55 minutes, and see if she can get some of her attacking flair back. Because if we can get that player back, and there's sometimes you get, you know, you don't know what the toll takes on injuries with some players, do you? We've seen players take a while to get back to their form, if it ever comes back. But you know, we could do with a really good fire and writing against Ajax and all the upcoming games against Arsenal. So I'd like to see her 55, 60 minutes, nice and free.
Yeah, well, we will find out around lunchtime on Sunday afternoon. Chelsea kick off at 1 p.m. Against Everton. We'll know who's in, who's out, and who's shaking it all about in the Chelsea lineup. Prediction time, then. I'm gonna kick us off with a 3-0 win. I'm very confident about playing Everton, and the curse is definitely broken. There's nothing to worry about there either. I mean, Simon, what's yours?
I'm going 4-1. Curse is dead.
Okay, Chelsea then. Matt?
I'm going to go slightly more conservative and go 2-1, Chelsea.
And come to Dane.
Oh, I last again, so.
You always last.
As per.
Pick your numbers.
So let me work this out. So 3-0, 4-1. Did you say 2-1, Matt, or 2-0?
2-1, yeah.
2-1. So doesn't leave me with a lot. I sort of did have 3-1 in my head, and just us by letting in the goal by tiredness rather than a great move or totally opened up. So yeah, I'll say 3-1.
Okay, you went 3-1 last game as well. That was wrong. There we go.
But I predicted us winning, so that I thought that was the I'd get bonus for that.
We don't get nothing for anything.
I love you anyway.
Do these predictions, let alone get anything for it. Of course, we will know if the curse is lifted or not Sunday afternoon. And of course, we'll be back next Tuesday with assorted guests to look back at the Everton game and then ahead to the Arsenal fixture next Friday at Stamford Bridge. Dane, good to see you again, mate. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. As I said, I like this new format now because I get to share screen time with Simon and Matt this week, and it's, you know, instead of just seeing your ugly mug everybody week and just being me and you and sometimes Jane if we're lucky, yeah, it's nice to see different personalities, different characters, different views, because we all think we know it all, don't we? But it's nice to have other people's eyes, and it helps you if you miss things as well, or especially in your case.
Yeah, exactly that. I did miss the Greenwood penalty decision as well. But good to have people on, of course, as we always. Simon, always a pleasure to see you.
Yeah, good to be on again. Thanks for having me. Good to see Dane. Good to see Matt and yourself as well. Yeah, yeah. Look forward to a big victory on Sunday. Curse is dead.
We're hoping so. If it's not, then you and Matt are definitely banned from being on the show.
It's obvious, I think. Are we on Monday morning?
Yeah. We'll know by Sunday afternoon. Emma will stop on the way back.
Yeah.
Matt, good to see you, mate.
Yeah, it's good to be on with Simon again, gone from the curse to the dream team. And of course, good to be on with Dane again after such a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, remember, if you do enjoy what we do as a show and you want to help support us, you want to help us continue to create content and do things like Mixlr and edit the show, basically, and put it up as a podcast, you can become a Went to Make His Money Patreon season ticket holder. It is just £5 a month, so the same as a cheap pint or an expensive coffee, depends what you like to drink. You get access to our summer series, the 30 Years of Chelsea special, and stuff like that. You get a sticker and you get to listen ad-free before anyone else as well. So if you do want to help support the show, please consider signing up to that. I'll leave the link in the description box below. You can also follow us on social media. We are on Twitter at Mokins Meadow and Instagram at Mokins Meadow. I am at Dean Mears, Dane is at DWIT9, Simon's at Kingman Simon, and Matt is at MattJBall98. The link, of course, for all those will be in the description box. And until next time, thanks for listening. And from Kings Meadow to, well, say Molyneux, keep the blue flag flying high.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.